everyone. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Are you having trouble finding success in the dating world? Today we have Brian Howie, host of The Great Love Debate. It's a live show that tours the country and answers the question, why are so many of us still single? And what are we going to do about it? And maybe we want to be single. And what's the best way to be single? We'll be talking first impressions, first dates, and how to keep up with the dating right now in the digital age. Thanks for listening. Okay, guys, you got 2 days until Valentine's Day. And I know we all have this desire to surprise our loved ones for Valentine's Day with a gift they've always wanted but never could ask for. Well, let me tell you, this is one thing your partner has wanted since she blossomed into womanhood. Or saw that one episode of Sex and the City. Whichever came first. So from the creators of the original Rabbit Habit Vibrator, the Dahlia by Vibratex provides a fun, flirty twist on the classic. It's pink. It's pretty. It packs a multi-orgasmic, dually stimulating punch. I'm talking to two men here. I wonder if they understand what I'm even talking about. Dual stimulation. Mm-hmm. The extra butterfly appendage, like on the rabbit, the butterfly appendage, they flutter against the clitoris. It feels so good. Silent, yet powerful vibrations while the smooth rotating head swirls around the G-spot. It's like a party in your pants. Has custom motion control. You independently control the clitoral ticker or the vibration. If you don't have a vagina, you should buy this for the vaginas that you know. And if you do have one, you know what I'm talking about, how awesome this will feel. So try out the Sexy Dahlia by Vibratex, an American company that's making pleasure pieces for 30 years. To learn more about the Dahlia, go to Vibratex.com. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's
got
to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, that feels so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
With Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com or go to my Snapchat because we're launching it right now.
Yes.
Which is Sex with Emily. And I'm Sex with Emily at Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and all those places on the planet. I'm Menace. Hi.
You are Menace?
I'm saying hi, Menace.
No, hi. How you doing?
I'm good.
How's Facebook been going? Because I know they're always trying to shut you down because of the whole sex.
You know what's so funny? We're 700,000 likes on Facebook right now, which is like a lot, right? Mm-hmm. That's good. And they have not tried to
shut you down recently,
not in the last year, but that was like really aggressive. I was like basically calling Mark Zuckerberg. Like I was calling every favor that I knew in San Francisco area. No, I'm like, I have to get this page back up.
Yeah.
Okay, Menace, I'm glad you're here because I miss you. And I'm going to tell you all about my life and what's going on. But I want to talk to our guest and have him just come into our conversation, like one of the family. Because I feel like you kind of are. He sits
in
this chair often.
I sit in that chair.
Brian Howie is the host of the Great Love Debate podcast, which is amazing. And I was a guest.
You were.
I sat there and he sat here, which was interesting because, you know, not being in charge. And I loved it. And you said, you love it. You're just going to hang out and have a good time here.
Co-pilot.
And tell us all about the Great Love Debate. You're a director, producer, author of How to Find Love in 60 Seconds.
That is correct.
Which is interesting. I'd love to learn that. That would make life so much easier.
It would make everybody's life easier.
Seriously.
Well,
her mom, her brother.
It's not about a quickie. It's more about recognizing, acting on, and most importantly, not killing those handful of opportunities every single day that you have a chance to find a spark or a connection.
Right. Okay.
There's 5 or 6 60-second windows in the course of every single day where if you do the right thing and most importantly don't do the wrong thing, you can find love.
That's amazing. Okay. Yeah. Well, I want to hear about that.
We'll get to that again.
I love that. And also the Great Love Debate, which, okay, I'm a little confused.
Okay.
Explain this to me. So you take an audience.
Yep.
Made of, you know, you take it this cut and around the country.
We've
done it
to 78 cities. We've done 121 shows in 78 different cities over the last 18 months. We do them normally in theaters and we take generally 100 single men, 100 single women, sit them on opposite sides, mix in some experts and celebrities and all that. And we try and collectively figure out town hall style why all of these seemingly reasonable people are either single, still single, or single again, or single longer than ever before. And it gets really fun and feisty and
And, have you come to any conclusions?
Yeah. The women want the men to try harder and the men want the women to make it easier. That's essentially the crux of the disconnect.
Right?
Yeah.
Should we just end it now?
No, that is
that just the answer to the universe?
That is it. And
the men, okay, so let's say
the women to be more aggressive. What have I been saying forever?
No,
right?
You're not saying that.
Easier.
Well, both. I mean, you know.
Say it again.
The women want the men to try harder, and the men want the women to make it easier. And the fundamental difference in the approach is that the women are looking for red flags, and the men are looking for green lights. So there's a little bit of a loss of hope and optimism on the female side. You know, a lot of people say, what has changed over the last 20 years when it comes to dating, relationships, whatever, and sort of the knee-jerk reaction is technology, social media, apps, all that kind of stuff. I think that's the reaction to the actual change. The actual change over the last 20 years is that the women have ramped up their independent, I don't need a man, masculine energy. And if anything, the men have become bigger pussies.
It's so true. No. And I just want a man, not a pussy, not a
gap,
boy.
The Band-Aid to close that gap that is new is the social media and the technology. It's sort of the reaction to the action.
It's sort of like and the reaction to the demand.
Correct.
Because people aren't married and they are single more. So they're like, wow, there's a lot of single people. Let's create all these apps to cater to them. That makes
because
so much
we've
sense.
Lost the ability to just say hello face-to-face.
Yes. Exactly, which is the love in 60 seconds thing, correct. I'm certain. So, and it's at Great Love Debate. And this will all be on our page, but Twitter, Instagram, it's all Great Love Debate. Good job getting them all uniform because that's never easy.
Yes.
Right? So the Great Love Debate, okay, so everyone gets in a room.
Yes.
And you go around the country and people just come, are they angry? Or are they like, I can't believe
it. It depends on
this
certain
I gave him a blowjob on Tinder and he didn't call me back.
Yeah, certain cities are a little feistier than others. Los Angeles, New York, Boston, Philly, they're rough. The middle of the country is a little more hopeful, but all, you know, 70-80% of it in every city comes down to confidence and communication. We've sort of lost our confidence, both men and women, and we've lost our ability to communicate, especially face-to-face. So a lot of people come to these shows ready to point fingers and blame, and it gets a little Jerry Springer show
sometimes.
See,
I know. I agree with that, though. Yeah. I agree that we have lost the ability to communicate.
We need some sort of validation before we say hi. We need to be swiped on. We need to be liked. We need to be friended. We need to be all that. We cannot just connect in real life. And the very act of bringing a couple of hundred single men and women together in a room, like, we have more matches than match at our shows. We really do.
Oh, I'm sure. See, that would make sense. Yeah. The people are all there. They're single.
This is something new that, I mean, this is not something new that we've been talking about on the show for a long time. But the part that I want to know, because I'm a guy, so I'm not understanding the whole part where women want to make it easier. How so? How do they want to make it easier?
Yeah, good question, Menace.
The men want the women to make it easier?
Yeah, yeah.
The men want the women to make it easier.
The women have become unapproachable for the most part. Your body language has changed. Your face is, you know, we always say get your head out of your apps.
What do you mean that? We're like, because we're tense?
The resting
anxious?
Bitch face did not exist 10 years
ago.
Yes,
it did.
No, it did not.
No, it didn't.
It didn't, not to this degree. It's a little bit the body language. Just in day-to-day life, just at Starbucks, just at wherever you're going to be,
right,
is the same as putting your headphones on the airplane. It says, don't talk to me. And everybody's got their cab lights off. And that has sort of killed the ability. And even if you see somebody you like, you're going to run home, you're going to get online, you're going to see if you can find them. You're going to miss a lot of opportunities.
I agree. I always say that. I'm like, people are like, why are you single? I'm like, they say to me, why am I single? Or I'm like, turn off your phone. Like, when you go in public, they don't look at your phone.
Online dating is responsible for 30% of marriages. Do you know what that took the place of? Do you know what that 30% used to be?
Meeting in public.
Church.
Oh, yeah.
And it wasn't about praying. It was simply the act of congregating. It was simply the act of men and
community,
women getting
right?
in the same room. And that's why a Great Love Debate is so successful, just getting these people
in. So you
have
like hundreds of people in
different
cities.
And they're all single and they're all in the same boat. And
I
want
to go to the next one and do that
get
and
on
have
the
fun
stage.
And talk to people.
You should do it.
I know I wanted to do it, but my best friends are coming
to town
this
weekend.
I know.
Well, we do it about monthly here
that's
in LA.
That's so fun. Yeah. I totally want it because I've heard about it and it sounds like it's also helping people and you have your podcast.
Yes.
And that's awesome. So I just want to introduce you so you could just be part of our little family here. This
nice.
Is Menace.
Hi.
I haven't seen Menace in a while.
I know.
It feels like
it.
I know.
So what is going on
don't
with your
know.
Life?
I'm
your
just,
dating life?
My dating life is
in shambles.
Interesting. I've been dating this guy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And it's been a really interesting. So I feel like that everyone we date, I think that we do a lot of our greatest work when we're dating someone or in a relationship with someone. For me, it's often dating.
Mm-hmm.
But this has been like a relationship. Uh-huh. I think the last, you know, especially since I've been doing the show for 10 years, but you know, you learn a lot, but not really putting things into action. And that is being in a relationship. I think that I've sort of coasted a lot of times because I wasn't really interested, or at least that's what I told myself, but it was true for me. Like, I was working hard, talk about the alpha woman and not needing a man. I really was like, my relationships kind of annoyed me. I was like, you met a lot of the guys I've dated.
Yeah.
You hated all of them. But
like used car salesman.
No, just one, and he was not a used car salesman. He was actually the most successful one. He thought he was like a used car salesman.
Former used car salesman.
He was not. He was wearing a suit. I just was like confused. Like suit? Like a nice suit?
I'm
like,
he had a pinky ring.
He did not. That was the guy's car I crashed. That was the guy, the Cadillac's car. He probably did have a pinky ring.
Okay.
That was the Escalade that I crashed that you were in. I'm sorry. Okay. It was in a parking lot. Totally safe.
Nobody's fault.
No. It was exactly. So the interesting thing is, so being in a relationship, I decided that everyone is sort of a everyone that we date, you use is a practice. You don't know what's going to happen, if you're going to end up with, if it's long term, short term, we really don't know. Mm-hmm. But as long as you're in a relationship, you should, you know, what I'm trying to do is just practice and like being super honest, super real, super authentic about like what maybe people do all the time. But for me, it's been to levels that, you know, I never really felt comfortable doing before. So I feel like I was in it because I've been practicing a lot.
We talked to this a little bit when you did. My show is both of us, I think, have for a long time.
We did.
Put enough chips in the table to stay in the game, but never kind of went all in.
Exactly.
And that's sort of what a lot of people do. Like, I'll see how this goes. And you put enough, raise, ante, raise, hold, call. Yeah. And then you never go all in.
You never go in.
Because you don't, either you don't have to, or you're not ready to, or you haven't done the work, either in the relationship or on yourself.
That's what, exactly. So I had not, I feel like I've, you know, I've done a lot of work on myself, but I was really ready to, so I was ready to put it in and not be avoidant in the way I was avoidant before. So this is, you know, where I tried some things, tried to be like both feet in, which I never really did, even though I said, even though they probably thought I was, or I thought I was to the best of my ability.
All right. Well,
I know I'm not giving it, but you know, so we're having, it's, you know, I feel like I'm growing and learning and changing and maturing.
You learn new things.
Yeah, it's awesome. So I'm going to go to a sex party next week. So
okay. That'll be fun. Is that like...
Not in a reaction. No, I was invited.
Because you know how I hate that.
What?
Women.
Oh, dude, no, I don't go out and fuck a bunch of guys. I'm not like that either.
Where women break up and then that like... Did, right. Yeah.
Right, you
instantly,
get drunk
like,
bar.
All their best friends are back, you know, that they ignored in their relationship. And then they like...
I've always been about my friends.
That's a soft landing. Yeah. You know, the friends are soft landing.
I know.
Are you dating anyone now, Brian?
Yes.
And Siri, are you moving forward in it?
Yes.
Good.
I am.
Good.
Progress. I move forward in myself and it and yes.
Don't you think that it's hard to, because I guess the bottom line of what I was saying is that it's also hard to be in a relationship with someone who hasn't done a lot of work. So now I think I was practicing with someone, you know what I'm saying? Like if they haven't done work
and,
either.
And usually, you know, if you do the work yourself, you will be surprised at how much you notice that whatever your reasons were, your relationships didn't work to that point. It was
so
probably
clear.
You.
It all me. And that's the other thing that you realize is you did. I used to, when I was younger, I'd say, oh, I broke up with him because, you know, you'd have 16 reasons why you broke up with someone and why it didn't work. Oh, he was this, or he didn't have a job, or he had roommates, or whatever, religion. But it's never really about them, you realize. Well, like, it's about where we are at that time in our life and what we want.
And a lot of us are looking for that trap door to get out at the first sign of trouble.
Right. And, what's the red flags? Let me look for it.
The longer you go as a single person, and you and I think neither one of us have been married, you sort of get really good at either getting out of it or fading out or whatever and never really having to go there because you get comfortable in that life. Like, I know how to do it.
I love being, and I actually do like my life. And so what's interesting about you said now is that there are so many, this wasn't an issue. And there was an issue with so many women being single, not even wanting to get married, wanting to have kids, people freezing their eggs. I mean, it's a whole different time right now.
It is.
Yeah. So.
But you've always been a good ex-girlfriend.
Great, like he'll be my best friend in 5 minutes. Yeah. That's the thing. Like all my ex-boyfriends are like my family.
I was just talking about you on the radio the other day.
What are you saying?
About how you go on vacations with ex-boyfriends.
I do,
with
John.
Their current girlfriend.
Yeah, I did that. Yeah, exactly. His current girlfriend and my current boyfriend. I think exes make. They
I
make
do too. They know.
Friends.
They know you.
They know me. They love me. Yeah, we'll be friends. Totally.
People, exes come to my shows.
Yeah.
And sometimes they're like, oh, I'm glad to see you've evolved. And sometimes they'll stand up and say, he's lying. He's a jerk.
Do they? Yeah. I love it.
You
I
know,
love
I mean, there's both perspectives. Because every city we go to, there's
got to be an ex.
Somebody.
Somebody bang there. Yeah. Right? No, it's true. I think it would be interesting to go back. Yeah, but the most of them I'm friends with.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a few that blocked me on social media. Although one blocked me recently. And then a year later, he came back and unblocked me and everything.
Because
he's
thirsty.
And then he called me. Right. He's thirsty.
Have
and then he called me.
Have
and
any
then he
of them,
babed me. Hey, babe.
Have any of them
I was
dated?
Like, you're you're babing me after you blocked me? The first thing I hear is babe?
Yeah.
Have anybody dated Emily and then not gotten a crack at sex with Emily? Like, you're a different person than you were, at least publicly, 15 years ago.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. I wonder.
Where was this side?
Well, remember that guy was on the show that I slept with that I had, whatever, did he use his real name? Justin? Now we will. I had gone out with him right when the show was starting, maybe. But it's interesting. You're right. Was I good? I know what the hell I was? No, I was. I certainly. Okay. Relationships is the thing that's been newer for me, but sexually has been like exponentially gotten better in 10 years. Like, I always have great sex. That's not my issue anymore, because it was my issue before that. That was not my fault, the bad sex.
Right.
That was all the guy's fault.
Yeah, sure.
But
the
relationship part, I take full responsibility for. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So, we're going to do a little sex in the news.
All right. What's going on
Cause
in the news?
Fun. Because it's about dating. The best time to use Tinder and OkCupid is 9 p.m. Did you know this already? Do you use that?
I thought it was, and then it just falls off the chart at like 1 o'clock in the morning. It like shuts
down. One is just drug people.
Yeah, that's
right?
True.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You're just like, I don't want anyone messaging me at 1 a.m. I mean, I might message people, but I know that. I usually regret it. So they look at the best time to find potential dates is at 9 p.m., according to Nielsen Research, so it must be right.
It is right. That's where I post a lot of stuff for social media. I schedule it out for 9 p.m.
From Nielsen?
Yeah.
Oh, from 9 p.m. at night. Oh,
yeah,
I did not know this.
Because that's, it gets the most reaction.
What, I'm trying to think of what I'm doing at 9 p.m.
I don't know.
What are most people doing? Just then sitting on their couches?
Yeah. Well, I mean, people are multitasking now. Even if you're sitting there watching TV, you're still on your phone, on your computer, whatever, and you're scrolling. Work is, it's a little bit tough. People check it a couple times a day, but they're not deeply focused on it. I always think if I'm doing any kind of social media, at least even promotional stuff, 6 p.m. is sort of the time I do it.
Okay. We're just kind of random. We do it all different times.
Did you hear the other thing with Tinder is now, because, you know, guys are terrible at writing and texting, that they're allowing...
You mean physically or just what they... Grammatically?
Or all both, yeah. They're using animated GIFs now that you can respond to whatever she's writing you or... Vice versa.
Just for guys?
Yeah, that just got released a couple days ago.
But that's been happening for a while.
So it can be super
lazy. So they're like 12-year-olds?
Like, we went from having conversations to now we can't even use words.
Yeah,
we just have to use stuff. We have to use emojis.
I don't even like sexting.
It's the biggest part of the problem is just we cannot even talk to each other anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, we have these. Hello is like... is sort of tinged with all sorts of what are you saying hello to me for?
And if you don't use an exclamation point with hello, you just say hello. Like there's all these studies about
apparently
texting.
You're an asshole now if you use a period.
It's true.
It's
crazy. It seems harsh.
I've been meaning to tell you that.
We
already knew that you
were
an
asshole. Thing in our live shows at the Great Love Debate. Thing called Tinder Theater, where we literally take somebody's phone and we read it out loud, their profile, and depending on the punctuation, it changes everything, whether it's a comma or a semicolon or a period or exclamation point. It can totally change the meaning, and people don't really think about it. They sort of bang it
out. I know, it's true. And it actually is an art now that you have to think about if you want to date.
It is.
If you need some, I think people need help.
How many reactions or how many, you know, bites you get on dating apps or online dating is really an indication of how good at communicator you are versus how good a catch you are.
Exactly. Right?
And a lot of people don't really think about that. They just want to, you know, you get help with your resume. You should get help with your online dating profile.
And it's true. And it goes, the only thing is it goes both ways, because there's been guys who were excellent texters and such great communicators. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't wait to meet them. And then you meet them in person. I'm like, I'm so bored with you. Like a guy I dated for a while, the one that you thought was a used car salesman, but he's clearly not. Not that there's anything wrong with that. My grandfather was a used car salesman.
I bet a used car salesman would have an advantage in dating.
Totally.
Salesy.
He fixed my car. I had to get four new tires.
Spin it.
I got totally screwed the other day buying four new tires. I knew I didn't need four new tires, but I just didn't feel like arguing.
I don't know. I think 90% of the dudes that I've met that you've dated are just douches, and I don't know why.
They're not douches in the traditional sense.
Oh, no, but you're like blind
to
the douchiness. I swear.
Can any guy go? Can a guy go up to you at Trader Joe's and just say hello to you?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Any guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Okay. No, I don't date jerks. They're all nice guys. They're not assholes. Douches, I think, like
no,
a douchebag, like an
because
asshole.
On the West Coast, I think like the ones that are that actually have balls to talk to people, because, you know, guys here on the West Coast are pretty much pusses. Like,
so that's what you're finding guys in your studies too, so that they're like, mostly pusses.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I, you know, I always
douchey pussies ones don't care. They'll
maybe
just go for it.
Maybe 10% of men are naturally confident to the level you want them to be, and 90% of those guys are assholes. There's
those
another.
See, that's what I think of douchebags.
Right.
But that's
there's another
I don't date
much
assholes
larger pool of men that can be confident if the woman sort of sets an environment where that confidence can flourish.
How can and she do that?
A little bit is her body language. It's a little bit about everywhere you are out of your house can be an opportunity. So it's a little bit about
talk
being
about
prepared.
This. So, okay. Let's talk
so
about this.
A lot of people are like, I'm not, because of the ability to do a lot of your dating and trolling for dates online, at home, or whatever, people have forgotten that any time you're out of your house can be an opportunity. So whether it's how you're, you know, you don't need to get all dressed up every time, but you have to be aware of people around you. And you cannot just always be standing in the bank line buried in your phone. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to be aware that maybe you don't want to approach anybody, but people may want to approach you if only to say hello. And we've really changed that.
Right. Like, I remember, I mean, I was in San Francisco for many years. I moved here 3 years ago, but I'm trying to think of all the friends that I've made. And you would meet people like sitting on the Muni bus when I took the bus, sitting in line at the bank. It's true.
I always ask people, like, getting why coffee, are you online? And they're like, because you can meet more people that way. And I'm like, in every city in America, in every single day, you're within 10 yards of 1,000 people of the opposite sex, real live people. Mm-hmm. So rather than, you know, swipe left and swipe right, just turn your head left and turn your head right. So, and those are people you can meet with.
I like that. Turn your head, swipe your head left and right. But what about body language? Because now you're making me super conscious here. I'm like sitting up. But like, what do you mean by the body language?
Well, a little bit is, you know, I always... you know, if you want to do a little trick that can sort of change
totally
things. When you were a kid and you went on a ride with your parents and you would sort of count blue cars to kill the time, if you went out of your house and you said, I'm going to try and find the next 10 people with blue eyes, you'd be surprised at how much not only you notice people around you, but how many more people would notice you back just because you were looking for faces now and you were in your whole posture and body language changed versus just I'm trying to get from point A to point B as quickly as possible without being bothered.
But if you're awkwardly trying to make eye contact with people to see the color of eyes, that could creep them out too.
No, it wouldn't. You'd be surprised. If somebody's trying to notice you or look at you or whatever thing, you know.
Okay. So I get it. So make eye contact. So you're saying you'd start to notice more of the blue eyes.
And be playful and be fun and just be cognizant of how you appear all the time. We're very cognizant of how we appear in selfies. Well, just pretend you're always taking a selfie. And that is not about, you know, how you necessarily look in terms of, it's just sort of about be in your sort of selfie persona when
pay
you're
attention
out. Pay attention to how you are and just understand, like, don't go out with the approach like, I don't want to be bothered. I'm not here for this.
But you're saying 10 years ago people wanted to be bothered?
I don't think they considered it a bother.
I think they looked at it
as an opportunity that you didn't have a choice. Mm-hmm. If you wanted to be asked out, you had to be willing to be approached as a woman. And now you're basically like, even the concept of the date has changed. In a lot of cities we go to, the women say, well, the guys just want to hang out. Okay?
Right. They say that in San Francisco a lot.
What's changed is a date used to be, I called you up, I asked you out, I picked you up, and that was a date. You guys don't want any part of getting picked up anymore. So now it's meet out, and then you're hanging out, and it's both sexes have really made it nebulous just what dating is.
That's true. That's true. I don't remember the last time I had a guy pick me up.
Right. And people were like, in this day and age, it was more dangerous in 1975.
Not even danger, just like I want the freedom or I drive.
But people think it's more dangerous now. It's not more dangerous now.
No.
They have DNA testing now. They'll find your body.
Totally. Exactly.
I just wish you could date your brother because that guy's cool.
I know. Sorry, you want to date my brother.
You want to date her brother?
Her brother's cool.
My brother's awesome.
I love that guy.
I know. He loves you too. Yeah, my brother.
Find a guy like him.
Should I move back to Michigan? I'm not dating my brother. But it's funny because I typically didn't date guys who reminded me of my brother. I was like, he's so like my brother. I don't like him. But it's funny that you
said
that.
Would you date a listener?
I've never dated a listener.
Which is surprising.
At least one who admits that they're a listener until after. No, I don't know. No, I have never met anyone who like hit me up online.
They haven't like, hey, you sound really interesting. I'd like to go out with you. That doesn't happen.
Oh, there's a lot of emails, right?
I think so.
A lot of dick pics.
A lot of dick pics. Yeah, those are fun. I just found the inbox. I never checked the inbox on the Instagram. Like, I never checked that inbox.
Uh-huh.
The DMs. There's like, it's like, you have 5,000 more DMs. I'm like, oh my God.
We just in Minneapolis solved the fish pic. Do you know the reason behind, you know, a lot of guys have the fish pic?
No, I've heard about this. Okay. It's like the commonly of them with a fish.
Yeah.
Yes. That, in their profile pics.
Yeah. That men so rarely feel the need to take a picture unless it's some sort of trophy or accomplishment or whatever, that it's one of the rare photos that a lot of guys actually have. So they're just like, here's a picture of me, because it's a reason they have it. Women take pictures all the time. So it's not anything about like fishing so cool. It's one of the rare times that they felt the need to document something. Yeah.
Right. That's so true. But then if you don't fish, I guess it could be you skiing.
It's your fantasy football trophy or whatever. So that's why the guys, it's not really, they don't have a whole lot of pictures to
show.
That's
so true. But nowadays it's a little bit better.
Yeah, I'm
just trying to get, but you're right. Everyone is, I don't know.
All my pictures have a microphone in my hand.
Right, me too.
They're like red carpet photos or something.
Like
that's not a good look either. Yeah.
And selfies.
There's a lot of dudes with a lot of guys out there with selfies these days.
With taking selfies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, equal opportunity, for sure.
It's gotten better.
I'm on 4 hours of sleep, the usual.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry to do this. No, I don't feel that bad. You seem fine.
I won't be here.
How's your
Come on.
Relationship? Can you just tell me one thing?
I've
been getting
weird
feelings.
Relationship is great. No. It's been awesome. What's going on?
It's been like
on?
3 years, and I don't know anything more than I knew 3 years ago.
We just, you know, more traveling, stuff like that. We see everybody that's married and like, fuck, they're miserable. Or
see,
like,
okay,
they have
so
kids,
is this the comment? Okay, really?
You know, and then we're just like happy being, you know.
Do you find this
together.
Too, Brian? Do you think that because, okay, I was driving here and I saw that sign for the movie, The Single, what's it called?
How to Be Single.
How to Be Single. And it seems like everything's about sync, right? There's a crazy ex-girlfriend, or it just seems like there's all these books about it. More and more everyone's talking about single dating. Everyone wants to talk about Tinder.
In your 30s.
Why is it a thing now? And now everyone hates marriage.
Here's the thing. In your 20s, everybody's sort of hopeful, but in your 30s, everybody's getting divorced.
Yeah.
So the example of marriage is not a good one. In your 40s, most of your dating pool is people who have been married. There's very few of us roaming around, you know, who
we're
have
like
never
the
been
only
married.
Ones.
Right.
Oh,
and
like
so
we
a little
like
bit
unicorns.
People either are, you know, but I think if you, you know, we take a poll at our shows, everybody, if you have to sign on a dotted line, would you like to be in a committed monogamous relationship? They all would.
They all would.
Nobody wants to be single, I
they
believe.
They don't see, but, okay, see,
the,
well,
the
I
difference between
I
the men and the women is this.
Okay.
If the women say, I would rather be alone than be in a bad relationship, and you should say that, you're right, or whatever, men never say that. Because men think that, but they look at the possibility of being in a good relationship as sort of an equal possibility. The women look at that as much more remote, which I talked about earlier. The women look for red flags, the men look for green lights. So women are the ones, you're on a date, you have your friend on speed dial, you have 100 different excuses to get out of here, you're looking at all that kind of stuff. So going into even that first encounter, the women really have their guard up and they really are not going into it with a clean slate and an optimistic viewpoint. And that's a big challenge.
That's so interesting. I just don't see it that way. I mean, maybe you're finding this in your things, or maybe just the people I know.
But you are a little more subconsciously doing it because you've always been single and you're sort of like, I'm comfortable being single and I'll float in.
But now I'd like to be in a relationship in a way, but I'm not like upset. I feel like my life is really good in both
you
ways.
You also know, here's
me.
An advantage you yeah. have, young lady, is that you know you're always going to get asked out again, or you have other options or whatever. That's both the blessing and the curse of the pretty girl. You know, some women get 2 dates a year, so it's a much bigger deal or it's a much bigger thing. You're like, you will, the first sign of ick, you're out.
No, you know what it is? It's really what I realized, and I'm talking about like my issues I had. I realized that the way, I'll be asked out again. The day I'm not, shoot me. But I think that the interesting thing too is that how I truly, and it's always weird to say this because it's not very how many people think, is that I really have never thought that being married and having kids and that was going to like complete my life.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that would be a nice option if that happened, of course. But it's always been about, I never thought like I'm going to go home and I'm going to be single. It's like my life has always been so full with lots of friends and work and family and people that it was never like, I am never under the illusion that that will be the thing that will make it all better. Because I've had,
well, it's not making it better, but when it's good, it's better than anything.
Totally. And so I would love to find good. And, you know, amazing sex, really smart person who's caring and loving. But I don't want to be in one's, whether or not.
Well, I ask this question of the women a lot because the bulk, you know, sort of ground zero for the women who come to our show is sort of 33 to 43.
Okay.
Okay.
And a lot of those women are like, I want to get married and have kids. Like, one sentence, get married and have kids. So I took a survey and I asked this question. You have two choices. You walk out of here, you bump into a guy, you fall madly in love for 50 years, no kids. Or you walk out of here, you bump into a guy, you have two kids, kind of an okay marriage for 10 years. Which one are you choosing?
Oh, what'd they say?
2/3 of them choose the first one, choose the 50-year love affair. And a lot of times they think, I want the kids or whatever. I need some sort of love somehow, where if you can basically say guaranteed 50 years of love, then they don't necessarily need the kids. And a lot of times they're searching for something, you know, outside, because there's a void that they're looking to fill, which, and the void is love more
than
anything else.
I agree. See, that's how I've always, because
even when the women say, I want the
I'm so glad
house
that was
and the dog. I mean, the women say, I want the house and the dog and the white picket fence and all that. He's not even on that list.
No.
He's nowhere.
But then, but that's why I'm surprised, because I feel like a lot of women do more want kids and the white picket fence. So you're saying though, when they had to choose.
I think they want happiness and love. And if the kids come or they can get them later, like I asked the same thing of actresses. You know, a lot of people want the, you know, you win an Oscar tomorrow and you can't have kids, or you have kids and you can never work again. They all choose the trophy.
Really?
They do.
Dude, it's so weird. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is.
I mean, I would choose the work, but that's just me, because I've never. Yeah.
I think it is. It's getting worse these days. Everyone that I talk to that has kids are effing miserable.
I know.
And I think it's because
love my kids, hate my life. That's the whole thing.
I think it's because, hold on one second. It's because of social media, and like, people are seeing other people's lives, like, you know,
they're only seeing what you want them to see.
Yeah, you're like, oh, you're always on vacation, you're always doing this. And I effing hate having
Do you think
kids.
So they're sitting home and they're like at 1 o'clock in the morning, not sending inappropriate messages, but they're on Facebook going, man, this is still in Disneyland, going to Vegas every weekend.
Yeah, because social media has allowed people to dangle only the good stuff in front of their friends.
It's so true,
but then
hide it. Exactly.
Oh, but my life is amazing.
Yeah, totally. No, my friend called me the other day. My friend Anna, she's like, is your life as Instagram fabulous as it looks? I'm like, hell no, I've been crying in bed all day. You know, it's funny. I mean, no, I wasn't really crying, but I was like, no, I'm having a shitty day. But
so
people put this thing out there. Yeah, go.
The second part is, though, so that, the kid thing. And then a ton of married people just in the past couple months, cheating after cheating.
Oh, like famous?
Crazy. No.
Not just your friends.
Just people
all
in my life.
I know.
At any age
three
range,
of my friends are sleeping with
married.
The other thing is, people transition too quickly from husband, wife to mom and dad. And that is a different role, and that is a good thing, but it really changes the dynamic of the boy and the girl within the home.
Absolutely.
And that is something that people, it happens before you know it, you know, and that's a challenge. And that's why, you know.
Absolutely. That's why you need the time.
You need the time.
You got kids at 22 again, like everyone else. They didn't have as many problems.
You still got to treat each other like boyfriend, girlfriend, even if it's just once a week.
You have to always, exactly. Yeah. Like, even like you're saying, like when you're prepared to go out, always go out presentable. And when you go home,
treat every time you're together as special, even if you, those couple hours that you're without your kids.
You have to.
It's date time.
It is date time.
That's what
put your clothes on.
I want to say, if anybody's listening that has kids,
I mean, then take
them
off.
I don't want them to feel bad about their lives. Like, your life is what you make it, you know? You do have to have those times when you have free time to have, like, a good time with
your partner. Totally. We're not saying anything about... Right. And I'm not saying that people hate their kids. No, more.
No, people love their kids, but it is not a cure-all. If you have a void where you have not done the work or not happy, the kids aren't necessarily going to fill whatever void that is.
That's what we're saying. We're saying that to think that anything is, like, everything, money, or the house, or the new car. Like,
you got
to
do the work.
You have to love yourself.
Correct.
And then it all comes together
in
the end. So there's that. But I also, speaking of filling the void in your life... There's a hole that I have in my life that I like to fill with the intensity.
Really? And what hole is that?
Funny you should ask. Okay. So you know about the intensity. You've heard me talk about it.
Uh-huh. You love
Brian,
it.
Brian, you haven't heard me talk about it. Okay,
oh,
so
wait for it.
Wait for this. Wait
Enjoy.
For this. So the the intensity is a unique insertable device that strengthens your pelvic floor, PC muscles. Kegel exercises. Mm-hmm. They are so important for men and for women. But this one is for women because you insert it, right? So it's a stimulation device, and it does your Kegel exercises for you. Works your pelvic floor 10 minutes a day. You lay back. I chill. I meditate. I do whatever. And it's a vibrator. So it vibrates and works your pelvic floor. It's called the intensity. And this muscle group gives you control over your pleasure during intercourse. It's responsible for preventing urinary incontinence, like when you sneeze and pee, which is a huge bummer. And it just happens to vibrate too. So you vibrate, you lay back. But what I love, it does it for you. I still do Kegels. Like, I have a Kegel cam, my iPhone app. But this one, you just lie and it stimulates them and it changes your life. And you have stronger orgasms. And you're tighter. People care about this stuff. It matters. And you have a healthy pelvic floor. So go to sexwithemily.com, click on the intensity banner. And for Valentine's Day, use code LOVE2016 for $30 off an intensity. And then also, I have something for you guys to stick your penis into. I have the Fleshlight. If you're looking for a way to mix up your masturbation, let me tell you about the number one sex toy for men, the only one you want, the Fleshlight. It's a masturbation sleeve you use solo or with a partner that simulates sensations of sex, and it looks and feels like the real. Have you seen a Fleshlight?
Yes.
All right. Have you used one?
Brian? No. But the day's young.
We should have brought you one. I have one in my trunk.
Okay. I'll meet you in the garage.
I do. Yeah, totally. Oh. You and I. I already felt like he was a buddy, and now I'm going to give him a Fleshlight.
Dude, that, what that do you guys trunk
do? It's so
that
funny
I can't even imagine what's in your trunk.
It's. We should do a what's in the trunk, what's in my trunk, not so what's in my
trunk.
Because literally I've got like condoms, I've got this, I've got a Fleshlight.
I would love for her to get pulled over and searched.
When I was at Hustler Hollywood, not to get distracted. Yeah. I mean, lifestyle sends me hundreds. But I was at the Hustler event last night. I will get back on track. And two people there love Promescent, which is premature ejaculation. So like, do you have any of that? I'm like, I do. And Madison's like, where are you going? I'm like, I ran out to my car. I'm like, here's the Promescent. Here's the condom. So I do a Fleshlight in my car.
You're like in New York on Canal Street. Because we have so
many. You are a doctor.
I am. Totally. Exactly. Like, I can prescribe it. You don't even need a prescription. But there is, it's just, you know, the stamina training unit helps you last longer in bed. You guys have your hands. I'm sure you've probably played with toys before, Brian. You seem like a Renaissance man.
I seem like a toy guy. Yeah.
And so it's super fun. But now you can have one too, and it just feels amazing, right? Masturbator. There's the Quick Shot, which is the newest member to their family, and it's a little small one. Helps with hand jobs and blowjobs. Go to sexwithemily.com, click on the Fleshlight banner, use code Emily, and get a free bottle of their award-winning lube. How do you feel about lube, Brian?
I guess it's necessary.
It's fun, right?
Once you know that it's necessary, it's necessary.
But it's not necessary. It just makes
you
feel better.
Well, it can be necessary.
It can be necessary.
Yes.
But it can also just be like a good, like, wow, sex felt great, but ooh, so much better with lube. I'm just a fan. I just
wet and wild.
Yeah, I'm wet and wild. Exactly.
She has a vat at her house.
I do have a vat.
Although you can either go to sexwithemily.com or just go to her garage.
Yeah.
Well, you know how I've always talked about my garage for years? I've been like, I got so much in my garage, and now it's like carried over into my trunk, into my office. So I have this new personal assistant, Doreen, and she's German, and she's been helping me get organized. So she came over last Sunday, and because I have this garage that's really not a real garage. You don't put your car in it. I just store a lot of toys, a lot of all my life in there. And we did start going through like boxes I've had like since San Francisco, since the early days, like vibrators I've probably gotten like not used, maybe some. No, most of them were not. They're 2005, 2006. And I was like, here you go. You want some anal e-spray? You know, she's like, what's that? I'm like, oh, that's some clitoral gel. And then I'm trying to explain to her what it is and all the old toys. And it was sort of sad, but also very cathartic to give it all away to her. And she's like, I never thought that on Tuesday night I'd be getting the anal e-gel. And she got all my, we cleared it all out and it felt really good. And there's time for more. But you know what? More toys to come in. But you know what's embarrassing about someone cleaning out your, like, life in a way? That part wasn't embarrassing. That part was like, oh, I'm glad she went home with six cock rings. Like, she's like, I'll give one to John, like her friends.
So
I'm like, great.
Yeah.
The weird part is like the stuff that you have that sort of, that to me is embarrassing. Like, I'm sort of, I really want to be an organized person, but I'm not. And so I spend a lot of time like buying containers that will organize things. So a lot of my clutter in my garage that we organized, and now it's very neat, was like, container, like to hold things, to organize things.
Wow.
And there was like bags and boxes, like a hoarder, like on that television show. But there was actually nothing there, just things to store. So it sounds like some sort of psychosis, maybe. I don't know.
Are you concerned? And I talked to Dr. Drew about this on our show.
Yeah.
That the technology has gotten so good that once they absolutely figure out the virtual reality thing, that it will really prevent dating.
Oh, people won't even date anymore or obsessed.
Then they'll be, it's going to be so realistic and so close that
I think it's already happening.
It's getting there. Mm-hmm. And once that you have the point where it's like the put on the helmet and you were with Jessica Alba, you know, it's.
Absolutely. I think if we've lost the sense, if we've lost the how to communicate with our partners, and if a lot of people are learning about sex through porn, and that's their first, they think it should be like that. And the first time they have sex, they're like, why didn't she squirt on me? Yes. And That's already happening. And then if you can virtually feel like you're actually having sex with someone, yes, we'll all become obsolete. We'll never talk again. We'll live alone.
You know, we've been to 78 different cities around the country, and people always say, well, what's the biggest problem in Los Angeles? The biggest problem in Los Angeles is that it's so nice here day to day. The weather and everything is in such a comfortable zone that the only thing that can sort of mess that up is dating for a lot of people. That, like, I can drink my wine and watch the sunset and hang out with my dog. Why would I want to get involved in something painful or icky or whatever? The middle of the country where it's snowstorm or whatever, they want the warm body.
Yeah.
Here they look at dating a little bit as like, ew, I don't know if I want to do that.
See, this is, I agree with you. I agree that, and I felt, even though San Francisco was freezing, I've always felt that my life is kind of, I kind of want to hang out with my friends today. And is that so, why is that wrong? Like, everyone's so concerned why they're saying, I get that it is, that you can have a lot of love in your life, but I do.
It's not wrong as long as you don't rule out or close off the possibility that that relationship that is out there for you will blow away everything else.
Right.
And it still
exists.
I don't
want to blow everything. See, but that to me is unrealistic too.
Well, the one eliminate everything else, it will surpass.
See, that's what we're thinking. This is the problem with the grass is always greener. All the people who are married with kids looking, going, oh, this is all I wanted. And they're looking at your Instagram in Vegas. Mm-hmm. And then the people get, you know, and then you're thinking, God, you know, maybe that would be nice one day to have a house. Maybe you're thinking that, not you, but some people. But you're saying that the marriage is going to come in and blow everything. No, I don't want that.
Marriage,
I wanted to make it better, but it shouldn't be so much work either.
Well,
some work, but not, you know, when it's over.
I'm just saying that, you know, if the guy's spending 12 hours every Sunday in his fantasy football league, it's because he doesn't have the girl that he wants. And she would trump that every time. I'm not saying he has to eliminate his friends or his activities or his hobbies or whatever, but the healthy...
6 hours on fantasy football.
Yeah, cut it back. The healthy, you know, you and her... Or you and him, or whatever your sexual orientation is, will always be more satisfying when it's good than just about anything else. You know, a lot of the girls are like, oh,
it's
we're
true.
Friends
when
forever,
it's
BFFs or whatever. You know, that gets tabled a little bit when you're in the happy relationship.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm afraid of, too, is like eventually those friends are going to run out because they are going to find somebody.
They don't leave, though, but some of the friends don't leave. Do you think they all leave?
I think they don't necessarily, they don't leave, but you're going to see
check
them
out.
Less.
No, I mean, it's happened, I feel like they're always still there. I think I operate another planet, and sometimes I should just, because I just see it all. I'm like, it's all fine, you know? Okay, what about Valentine's Day? What do you think about Valentine's Day, Brian? Because
well, that's
up.
A good question. I had a girlfriend once, and I made the argument that, you know, if you do the other 364 days right, you don't need Valentine's Day. And she goes, that's a wonderful theory. I need Valentine's Day, so shut up. Valentine's Day is a celebration of love as much as a relationship. So I think single people can also have huge opportunities on Valentine's Day.
Right.
Because people are out there and they want to feel what the people, you know, everybody is feeling. I don't think it's just for couples or celebrating what you are. I think it's a celebration of love, and whether you have it or you don't, or you're looking for it, I think it's a good opportunity. So
absolutely.
Go out on Valentine's Day.
If you're single,
Day.
What's the big deal? Right, go on Valentine's Day.
It is
Day
one of the best
friends.
Times to meet people. We did a show last year. We did a show here in LA on Valentine's
you
Day.
You should.
People got laid that night then.
And people were there. You knew everybody there was you know, single and was looking to not be single. It was a good opportunity.
Do you track how many people, like, do they email you? Like, Brian, I came and I met the love of my life.
All the time. Either they met him that night or they put something to use that they learned at the show. Again,
like what? Tell me what they look like.
Most of
the
answers, our job, you know, my job at the show is just to raise the questions. The audience provides a lot of the answers. And a lot of what they do is either they change their approach. Mostly what the biggest thing that changes is the men learned to be less afraid. And so, you know, if you're not going to approach her, you're not going to get her anyway. Mm-hmm. So what if she says no? And I also tell people to get rid of the words, not my type. If you're over 30 and you're still single, you have no type. Your type's
no one
not
has a type,
out.
Right. I agree. So we put up all these barriers.
Because you don't know who that person knows. You find out more about yourself sitting across from somebody that you wouldn't normally sit across from than just about anything else. And if you're not, you know, you can sort of work your way up to that. Start out by wearing something that you wouldn't normally wear. Then order something off the menu that you wouldn't normally order. So you're kind of retraining your brain to shift up your normal, to get out of your comfort zone. And that is the easiest way to start, you know, opening yourself up to opportunities everywhere.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. people, it's the approach. It all comes down to the confidence. So you're teaching men how to be more confident? Like, are you doing
right?
The men, great love debate?
The men need to be confident, and the women, you know, it's a lot harder. The men are open to change if they just need a roadmap. They just need to know that, okay, if you do this, you know, if you jump this high, you can get the cheese. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of men have really lost their confidence, and they're afraid, and men are hurt by a woman a lot longer. You know, women sort of get their heart broken a little bit from the time they're 15, and they know how to process it and deal with it and all that kind of stuff. One girl can wreck a guy.
This is what Drew and I talk about in Love, like wreck right now.
They internalize
it. Has it always
been that
way? Yeah. We were talking about that. It feels like it's with the porn thing, but also more than ever, we have guys calling her like, I'm 22 years old. My girlfriend broke up with me 3 years ago, and I still haven't left my house. And it's like this whole epidemic of guys who can't. I don't know why.
A little bit the social media thing, and the only pictures
because he's seeing her in a bikini, yeah. Right?
She's seeing her bikini, but the only pictures people are posting are the happy ones.
Yeah.
So you think that everybody
I just post
else
me like in bed, like not having showered for 3 days?
You know?
I'm gonna do that.
You know, so the guy, it takes a lot longer, if ever. The men don't naturally do the work. They don't naturally open up. They don't naturally process this pain. And there's a lot of men out there walk around in pain. And so we really have to give them an extra nudge to say that the fastest way out of that dark place is to just go
through it.
Go through it and then go for it. Go get back on the horse.
But how do you think that men typically, if they're not used to going through a lot of these things and repressed things, like because we were talking about doing our work, and I think we say that, but some people don't really know what that means, I think. Like it means...
Don't be afraid of therapy. I started therapy, and I'm 1,000 times better for it.
How many years are you in therapy have you been in?
2 years.
Oh, that's it. That's good.
This is the very act of wanting to go or thinking about it and having questions asked.
So good for you.
It's so good for you. When we started the Great Love Debate Tour, I was kind of like, oh, these poor single people.
Right.
You know, I thought I'd like it. And then about halfway through, I'm like, I'm just as bad as everybody.
Exactly.
I'm worse.
Good.
I'm like, these people are me because at least they're being honest about it. Right. I was sort of like.
You're like, I'm the moderator.
I'm like, yeah. I'm like, don't ask me these questions. And, you know,
I love this.
You have to own whatever your dating fate is. A lot of people sometimes come to our shows and they want to hear, especially the women in New York, they want to hear, this city sucks and all the guys are terrible.
Right.
And if you give them something, they want to be validated in their misery because then it's not them.
Right.
And if you give them a thing like, well, I got a room full of 100 really good guys right here, that's tough for them to deal with at first.
And, it is tough.
And you have to shake up their comfort zone.
I love that you do that. I love that you're doing these everywhere. And they're just, you know, hundreds of people. I'm going to come to the next one. Not necessarily for dating, you know. I'm just going to hate all those assholes because I'm way above them. But it is true that what I was going to say is about having therapy is that that's, you know, probably for 15 years. I don't think you're ever really done. 10 years straight, I'm on it. You know, 10 years I went and then 5 years on it. I just think you always go back for different things. The point is, though, with men, when you talk about them, like just telling them what to do, like this is what you have to do to get to here. Mm-hmm. Do you think that a lot of that is a woman's responsibility, like in a relationship? When there was like, I'm training him. What do you think about
that? I think we should be trained. And I think that
more so than women.
Yeah, because you guys, we're pretty simple in what we need.
Everyone
to be
says
happy.
That, but why?
It's true.
Okay.
All we know is what made the last girl happy. And we've probably found that out six
That's
months
true.
Too late.
I would say that sexually.
If
right.
you tell us. Here, a lot of women, I say, what do you need to be happy? And the list of what makes them unhappy is right here. It is ready to go. And the happy list is not nearly as clear. But if you say early on in a positive, reinforcing fashion, even if you're on a first date and you're like, and the woman's like, so what do you like to do? And the guy's like, I like to go fishing. Rather than going, ugh, you say, I bet there's so many more things that we can do that are more fun than fishing. And then
right.
suddenly you're
it's
giving
funny.
You're
right.
giving him a glimpse of the possibility. The sex thing, too. A lot of times the guy needs sex very early in the relationship just to understand that you might like him. Mm-hmm. That's what he gets back.
Right.
If you said, listen, it might take me a long time to get comfortable with sex, but when I am, I'll blow your mind. That's all he needs.
Exactly.
He will stay forever. It's a positive, well-lit roadmap to success. And if you give him that... We can all be trained.
And it's teaching those tools, though, because I think women, too, from the sex side, they do not know. They might not even know what they really want, but they certainly don't know how to ask for it in bed. Like, they don't even, because I'm always saying, like, well, ask them, what's your fantasy? I don't fantasize. I don't think about it. I don't masturbate. It's like, you got to put in the time of figuring it out.
Because if you don't know, there's no way we're going to know.
Exactly.
You know, and that's doing the homework, too, is what do I like, what do I need, and how do I communicate it in a positive fashion that the other person will look at it as like fun and sporting and all that kind of stuff versus,
you're not doing the right thing.
Right. You know? And it's practice too, because I think, you know, our greatest fear, all of our, is that we won't be loved, that we're going to be rejected by somebody. And so then the more we actually are our authentic real selves with someone and it's okay, you know, nothing happened. They actually liked us more than you realize.
You know, practice. The whole dating experience, I like to, the analogy I like to use is ping pong. And so the first serve is high. And then you hit it back. And then you want to keep it going as long as possible without smashing it out of bounds or hitting it into the net. The more you can keep this thing going till you get into a rhythm, whether it's sexually or communication or just a comfort zone, the better. And so you kind of go at the pace. People don't realize how nervous both parties are on the first date. You know,
so
especially
I know.
The men.
What are your first date tips?
A lot of times people are like... he just talked about himself the whole time. With a narcissist. And I'm like, he probably did because he was nervous.
That's right.
And
said that
babbled
8 million times. I'm like, give him a second chance. He was nervous. Okay,
unless
next
he
problem.
Spilled something flammable on you. Yeah, give him a second chance.
And he didn't try to
ask
it up
questions
after.
That are interesting but aren't judgmental. Don't ask things like, what is your dream vacation? Because he's going to try and be like, oh, what is she going to think is interesting?
Right.
If you ask a question like, have you ever ziplined? Well, that's sort of yes or no. And he could, you know, make a comment on it. Give people, you know, questions that are sort of finding out a little bit about them. You know, you don't want to ask like, how much do you weigh? But you want to ask questions that people feel comfortable answering and build up to the stuff you really want.
Right. And don't be so judgmental about people right away and writing them off.
No,
but then also there's a fine line between knowing like my gut says... This isn't
well, I also think, though, I think if you're over...
I'm cutting the time in half that I date people, though, now. Yeah. That's our thing.
You know, if you're over 40 as a man or maybe over 35 as a woman, I don't think, if you've never been married, I don't think you can dismiss that like it's not an important subject. You can't be like, I was busy or I just haven't met the right person yet. You have to have an answer to that that takes ownership of wherever you are in your relationship.
An answer to why you're not in a relationship?
Or if you've never been married or what's your longest relationship.
Boring. First three questions of every date I go on.
Because
have you ever married? No. Have you lived with anyone? No. What's your longest relationship?
Oh. Right. You never, like, that is
can
a red
I just,
flag.
Can I just give him, text him ahead and be like, before you ask me.
Well, what's your answer? I asked you this on our show and your answer's kind of wishy-washy.
What'd you say?
Oh, so wishy-washy.
You were like, it wasn't important to me. Or
it wasn't.
Like
it's true, though. I never prioritized. That was not my... It didn't seem interesting to me at the time.
Right.
I had a lot going on.
At the time. So if that
is... now it does.
Right. So you're going to have to really define why now it does.
Because... I think that I've worked out a lot of things that maybe were prohibiting me from...
exactly. And they want, that's all they want to hear. Because even if they're not...
I fill in the blanks.
Right. Their friends and their family are yapping in their ear like, what, aren't you worried?
She's never... Right.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. All the time.
The
or they Google. Just Google me. And then
you're screwed.
I saw the girl you're dating. It's anal sex month on our website.
Right.
You really want to go
sure
down
that,
this road, honey?
You know, there's a... That's challenges. You know, but your mom's okay with it.
Totally. Yeah, no, my mom's cool.
That's all you have to say is my mom's okay with it.
Yeah, my mom's. Yeah, exactly. My mom loves it.
Rules.
Yeah. So there's that. I was going to have you help us answer an email.
Sure.
Ooh.
From the people.
I love
email
it.
Email us. Were you going to say something? You looked like you were excited.
No, just that.
You even slapped
it. Well, no, we were talking about your mom. And I was saying, I was about to say. She kind of destroyed you with that one comment
right.
that we've talked about for like 10 years.
Yeah.
But you might want to tell him.
Well,
him
you might find this interesting.
Yeah.
You're right. I probably don't fill in the blanks though. We did a reality show on Bravo called Misadvised.
Oh, I know. I know the others.
Oh, okay.
I know Amy and I know Julia.
Oh, okay. Did we talk about this?
No, but I.
Okay.
Julia's did our show in San Francisco. She's the one I always bring her up who has 67 things on her checklist of what she's looking for in a man.
Yeah.
That explains a lot.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I don't have any list. I don't want any man. Yeah. So the three of us, then did you see it or you.
Seen it and I know.
Whatever.
It.
I don't care if it's okay to watch it. Like three people watch it. But people watch it. The point is, my through line through it was that my mother. Told me never to. I was like 12, and my parents were getting divorced. She was getting divorced for the second time, and she looked at me. I was like 12-year-old girl, and she's like, "Emily, never ever rely on a man," is what I heard, or anyone, but a man to take care of you. You will always be taking care of yourself. So I internalized that as, "Wow, okay, so I'm always going to be working, and I better love what I do because that's going to be really important because no one's going to take care of me." And I would date, but I was like, until I get to this. Point in my life or my career, which is the same as saying once I get the car, everything I'll be happier once I get money. But I really believe I needed that security and I needed to be able to take care of myself. And that's why I couldn't. If anyone got in the way, like, you work too much. But like, you talk too much.
I hear that a lot. Like, we know you can buy your own stuff and we know you can fix your own stuff or whatever. After 6 p.m., turn back into a girl.
Yeah. No, okay? And I'm like that.
And let
now.
Him
I'm
be a boy. Of... And a lot of women have trouble taking that
persona
down.
No, I'm girly, though. See, I'm not like a masculine. I'm always like, and I was always a damsel. Like, I was running my own business, but I was always like, but can you do my website? How many guys help us with, like, I'm like, jeez. But can you edit this video? Like, they're all working for me.
Asking for help does not show weakness.
No, it wasn't weak, but I'm saying I was vulnerable.
Vulnerable.
I was not like, I'm not a hard ass bitch. Like, I'm not like, I got my own.
I would say the most confident man in the room is usually the most vulnerable. And that, you know, to embrace your greatest weaknesses as a man or a woman, that is a really strong thing to do. And, you know, letting strangers, for the most part, get a little bit of glimpse of your vulnerability is something that goes a long way.
And I think that's another thing that I have been working on a lot in thinking about is that while I'm vulnerable, I feel like I am. Even more so, I realized the virtues of it and how important it is and how much you block.
You
it.
Have to work harder sexually early on because they're probably intimidated by sex with Emily.
Yeah.
So you have to let them know that whatever they're doing
it's
or
fine.
Not doing is fine.
Right away. I can be like, your penis is fine. Oh my God, that was great.
Right.
And
I mean,
clap.
You know, a little bit you
I'll
have
Instagram,
to almost say
like my happy
sex
face
with
after.
Emily's a character. Even if it's not, you sort of have to
I know.
Have two personalities.
That's been hard too. Because guys I date, they're like, oh, I don't listen. And they listen. They're like, and
they
I'm
totally
like, no.
Listen.
And they're like, you didn't talk about your brain. I'm like,
I get that. If I'm on a date, they're like, do you really want to know that or is it research? I'm like, a little bit of both.
A little bit of both. But I don't use their names.
Yeah.
That's cool, right? Do we have time for the email? I think we have to. You're awesome. I love having you here. I think we don't even have time, but you've helped so much, Brian. You've helped our people, helped our listeners. What'd you say?
I'm curious what the email was.
Okay.
Yeah, just
was
a quick, real quick. It's a real quick one.
Okay, so this one is about. I'm gonna do the second one here. How to ask a girl out. Dear Emily, I see this girl quite often, that works at a coffee shop. We hit it off with conversations that went really well, and I want to ask her out. I'm afraid that she may be in a relationship, but what's the safest or coolest way to go about it?
Hi, would you like to go out? If she's in a relationship, you're not losing anything anyway. On the women's side, though, real quick, here's the way you make it easier, that whole first encounter. You know, the guy says, can I have your number? And it's yes or no. Would you like to go out? Yes or no. And then a lot of times it dies right there because it's on the man to interpret, oh my God, what is she after? I have to think of what to do. So if you say, would you like to go out sometime? Yeah, you want to do dinner? And he'll say, sure, because he thinks of dinner. And she's like, there's a new place I wanted to try. You're just feeding him information that he can grab at. And so you're not asking him out. You're not. So the planning of the date, especially in LA, God knows what everybody eats or doesn't eat or whatever. It's really, really challenging. The more information you can give him while he's asking you these things, the more likely it is going to be to work out. To his question, though, if she's in a relationship, then she's going to tell you. So you're not going to go up and say, are you in a relationship because I'd like to take you out? I'd like to take you out. If she says she's in a relationship, well, maybe she'll file it away for later.
Right. But don't obsess about it. We're just let her wait 3 weeks till we tell you. Just do it in the moment. That's what we have to learn.
Just
guys,
do it.
In the moment. You have nothing
it.
To lose.
Yeah, the old, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. That
exactly.
Thing, you know?
No, it is true. That's a good one. And because a lot of it is based on fear. We psych ourselves out of so many things.
Right. She'll be flattered. She won't be mad.
Totally. Yeah. Like, she's giving it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I think so. I think that we make excuses why people won't work out in our lives. Okay, so Brian, Great Love Debate.
Mm-hmm.
GreatLoveDebate.com, at Great Love Debate on Twitter and Instagram. And do you have a personal?
The Great Love Debate is Facebook, the page, or at Brian Howie everywhere.
Brian Howie.
Twitter, Facebook, all that kind of stuff.
Okay, great. We'll have this all on our site. And I want to come debate.
I
would love it.
We would love to have you back on the Great Love Debate podcast anytime.
Oh, it was really fun. You can sit here. I sit there.
I know.
We'll
switch to a quid pro quo podcast.
I love it. Okay. Well, thank you very much. Thank you, everyone. Menace, anything else that we need to know about your life?
Just Menace on Instagram and Twitter. That's it.
Okay. Perfect. And
Nothing crazy.
That's
nothing
good.
Crazy.
You got Menace, huh?
Yeah, across the board.
Good for you.
And I'm sex with Emily.
Advantages of
and
I'm
Snapchat.
In San Francisco.
We have to do Snapchat.
Yeah.
Sex
no,
Emily.
All about
well.
It.
We're doing
it
now. Okay. I love you all. Thanks so much for listening. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com. So you like talking about sex? Of course you do, since you're listening to my show. Well, so does comedian Nikki Glaser, like a lot. On Comedy Central's new show, Not Safe with Nikki Glaser, the self-proclaimed curious perv is going to explore it all. The good, the bad, and the uncomfortable. Getting people to share things about their sex lives that they never thought they would. From footlookers to road handies. Nikki's got you covered because everyone's got a thing. Might be a road handy. Hand job. You get it. Tune into Not Safe with Nikki Glaser Tuesdays at 10:30, 9:30 Central and on the Comedy Central app. She likes it when you watch.